Andrew in dare tartsne. Ides krvadze vor. Vai anor vor ir diginin dare tartsi gu guborna. Sur tiki me chargo, pats ange vai te mornas. So adoramal guzem aisor haduk pamoner vor hoskeres aveli ank viren videolan vor tog ais kiragi kone ink shidak impernesto haskne arant translation lalu. So yetek hiç mi ticaret yönelik nankleri edin meçi bir diğer çanan var hayran al meçitine. So I'll ask your patience. Hidek buzdik ne? I gotta do it in English. The, our kids, they really, they copy us and they inherit certain things from us. And last year when we went to the, it was the Heather's birthday and I was in the store and I was looking for something to buy. It is a big store, you know, and always the last night and you're looking for something and, oh, it was the Mother's Day. And I saw a lot of people in the store. Everybody is single man is looking for something. And suddenly I saw that I'm looking for something, but I look, where am I? And I was in the tool section and here's the tool section and I'm looking for a gift for my wife. So that was the something. And then yesterday, last night, we were with the kids, we were in the store again. It was almost 9:30 and we're trying to find something so they can buy. Luckily, I bought it way before, so I was okay. And I was looking for the kids. And suddenly Masi said, "Baba, Baba, I found something, look, look." And then we looked it, and here is the tool section, and here is the hammers, and the Masi is showing me. And so I said, "You know, that's my boy. That's my boy." And they do inherit things, and I'm very pleased about that. Well, that was just a warm-up. And because the topic is today is tough, it's a hard topic, so I think we need to soften a little bit, you know, just so. We're going to talk about today integrity. Integrity, or another way, honesty, but mainly integrity. Gadaryalullah. I was thinking, what is the integrity? It seems that the way that you describe is better is the integrity is, it's not broken. Gadaryal, mek pam, arant godruvat. So, I saw another guzem khosil. You have subtiki meche mekani orinak nergan, anons bidinayin, ein antere vor grnak yank nerun nail, you have hasknal ais integrity, what it means. We can look to the scripture and we can see the examples so we understand better. And then we'll talk about why do we need integrity or how it affects us, the person with integrity or without integrity. So let's go to Job. I'll read just two verses. You may just listen when I'm reading. It was the Job chapter 2, verse 3. This is the first time we hear the integrity word in the scripture. And this time God is talking, God is saying about Job, and he's talking with the Satan. And then the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job? There is no one on earth like him. He is blameless and upright, a man who fears God and shuns evil. And he still maintains his integrity, though you incited me against him to ruin him without any reason." The Lord is saying to Satan that I have a man here, his name is Job, and he maintains in integrity even though all the things that I did it to him. He took all his wealth and everything. So he maintained his integrity. He was still one piece. And the Lord is saying that. You know how wonderful if the Lord tells somebody about us, and he will say, "You know, I know Hiraj. I know his integrity, he's the man. He maintains integrity." He says, "I know Hagob, he maintains integrity." You know, especially if the word comes from God, from Lord. You know, it's interesting, you cannot call yourself man with integrity. This is something that has to be appreciated, it has to be said by others. So, men chenkunar mezi hamar gadaryal esenk pat aynavar uishnere betkevorusen. Yev hostele dere hopin hamar gese, or ayn Asmart Gadaryale. Yev you know and hopin meche ksaniyot hengin meche Job 27:5 he talks about, again, integrity. And he says, I will never admit you are in the right until I die. I will not deny my integrity. So it's not as something that it just happens by itself, but you have to pay attention. He says, until I die, I will maintain my integrity. I will not depart from my integrity. So it's something that you have to be part of it. It doesn't come. You see, it's not like the righteousness that comes from the Lord. You don't have anything to do with that. You know, just the Lord gives His own righteousness. But when it comes to integrity, you have to be part of it. You don't see a man and by chance becomes a man of integrity. You see the man that it works for it. He pays attention. So that's the way the Job. We have another two examples. I'm sure you will know who are these people. The first one is the second one, Daniel, right after Ezekiel, Daniel. And let's go to chapter 6 of Daniel. That's one of my favorite chapters. Here is Daniel. You know the Daniel, right? He was in the Babylonian, and you know all the story about the writing on the wall, and which is the it was the end of the Babylonian king, and after that night at very night, the Persians came and then they took over the land from the Babylonians, and the Persian king Darius is the king right now. So everything was changed in one night. The whole Babylonian kingdom gone and totally new kingdom came. And the Daniel was working for the Babylonian king. And what happened is this, interestingly, Darius, this new king, the Persian king, you know, normally what happens when you change things? When a company takes over the other company or you invade some land, first thing you do is you change the top management in the company or you change the older government. Because you want to make a new rules. This is my land now. Before it was something else. Now it's, you don't continue with the same people. Let's say if the Armenians took over the Turkey, you're going to let the Turks to continue to govern the country? Probably not. You're going to put all the Armenians, right? Full blood Armenians. They do this. Turks are doing the same thing. They are putting the full blood Turks. They don't put the Armenians. So you put your own people. But interestingly, Darius, here's the Persian. And here is the Daniel, the Jew, which is from the previous kingdom. He is taking him, and he is seeing some value in Darius, in Daniel. He says, Darius to appoint 120 satraps to rule throughout the kingdom, with three administrators over them, and one of whom was Daniel. Now Daniel so distinguished himself among the administrators and the satraps by his exceptional qualities, that the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. King is putting, he's considering, he's seeing so good stuff inside that he's considering to put him over all the rulers, except himself, to over all the land. You see that the how the evil man can see the integrity. This Darius, which is he's a idol worshipper, and he's seeing, looking to Daniel, and he's seeing such a good qualities, virtues, that he's saying, this is the man I want to put on his above all my land. And I don't care he's a Jew, I don't care he was working with the previous kingdom, but I know this is the man I should have it under my hand. I should use him. He should be my right hand, almost. And that's the Daniel. And we don't read anything. And how this Darius quickly decided to take the Daniel and put on the top, you know? It's amazing. And what happened? We know the story, right? All other people, they were jealous. They said, how in the world this Daniel can go up high? Maybe they said, hey, this Jew, you know, like this many people they call today Jews. And how this Jew can go up? And they started to find something that they can hold on, some corruption. And said, this is the man has so much authority. I bet that we gotta find something. You know, do you go to president, our United States, president of the United States, you go to his life, no matter which one. Bill Clinton is the easy one. Let's go to the other ones. And you can always look at their life. It's not that difficult to find some corruption. And here we go. They do the same thing. They look for corruption, but the verse 4 says they could find no corruption in him. Nothing. Nothing. Tam mı çıkırsan kıtna. And he was trustworthy. You can trust him. He was neither corrupt, nor negligent. Asiga mart mı ne var? Yete pam mı das ne gine? It's not a negligent person. So it's not the person that he pulled his hand out and he's saying, I don't do anything, so I don't do it wrong either. He does work. He does do what he is supposed to do. But he does thing with integrity. So we know the story, and they made a special law that everybody pray to the king, and then Daniel openly, he denied that and openly made it clear that I will worship to my Lord no matter what happens, no matter what is the cost. And he did it, and at the end they put in the lions, and then we know the story back. What's interesting is when they put him in the with the lions, he said the king couldn't sleep. Now, king knew that this is a right man. He didn't deserve this. He didn't deserve to die with the lions. And he knew that the others were doing this purposely, out of their jealousy. And he came next day quickly and he says, Daniel, servant of living God, whom you serve continually, been able to rescue you from the lions? Is your God rescue you? And I bet he knew the answer. And then Daniel answered, O king, live forever. Now, isn't it nice? You know, here's the first word he says. You know, somebody putting you in that type situation, and then he's coming next day, and the first thing you say, you live forever. You know, do you see that his heart, there is no bitterness, there is no hatred, there is no anger. He's beyond these feelings. He is somewhere that he can see the whole picture. He can see the God's purpose. He can see his place. And he's saying, oh, king, live forever. I'm not angry against you. I am way above you. And my God sent his angel, and he shut the mouth of the lions, and they have not hurt me, because I was found innocent in his sight. He wasn't guilty. He was innocent. That's the reason God helped him. And then nor have I ever done any wrong before you. I think we have to underline the second portion, especially for today. I have never done anything wrong with you. It's important when we Christians are looking for our righteousness and integrity, we shouldn't just look to the Lord and say, as long as I am okay with the Lord, the rest is nonsense. That's not the case. It goes together. You cannot find a Christian that is totally clean and righteous in the Lord at the same time is corrupt in the world. That just doesn't happen. You cannot have both ways. It has to match together. Your life on this earth, your business with the others, your friendship with the others, the quality of this, it cannot be different than the quality of the Lord. It has to go together. If it's not the same, we call that hypocrisy. That means you have one face with the Lord and you have another face with the people. That just doesn't happen. So here's the man, is innocent in the Lord's sight and also innocent at the king. That was the Daniel, this is one of the book, and the other one will be Joseph. These are the people that you can look their life, and here's the man you want to tell to your kids. You want to read to their kids. This is the examples, you know, this is the man of integrity, the above reproach. Somebody cannot approach him. Trustworthy. And let's go to Joseph, way back front, somewhere in the Exodus. Genesis. Okay, Genesis. I like to look two section of his life. I don't want to go through the whole story of the Joseph, I'm sure you know, but two sections of the life that it has something to do with the subject today, which is integrity. The first one is obviously the Potiphar, which is the guy that he bought him as a servant. And then the same thing, just like the Daniel. He looks this guy and quickly he sees the value. He sees that he's trustworthy. He has an integrity. And then what he does, at the Genesis 31, verse 4, he says, Potiphar put him in a charge of his household, and he entrusted to his care everything he owned. He left in Joseph's care everything he had. With Joseph in charge, he did not concern himself with anything except the food he ate. You know, I'm wondering if we can trust this much to our wives, that we can trust everything and accept what we eat. You know, that's a level, that the maximum level that you can trust somebody. You can leave everything what you have. And he's doing to who? He's Egyptian. He's giving to somebody from different nation. And he was slave. Who knows what was the purpose of the slave? He became a slave. And then he's taking and he's giving everything what he owns. See? Can you see the what he's... I think the Potiphar was the good man. I think that was the reason he was the head of the national... What they call here? The president's secret service. Yeah, he was the president of secret service. At that time, he was the head of the king's soldiers. So it's like the secret service here. He wasn't for nothing, he was there. And we know that his integrity, we know after that the temptation with the wife, he maintained his integrity, and whatever it costs, same as the Daniel, whatever it costs, it was going to cost Daniel's life, here almost his life too. He went to the prison. This time, Lord didn't save him right away, like the Daniel. He went to the prison and stayed at prison for a while. So whatever it costs, integrity is not a free, whatever it costs. And I'll come up to that point at the end of this, because we gotta put down this integrity into our life, and we will know what it takes to maintain the integrity. And then it continued, same Joseph, the Pharaoh, here is the king, in a that quickly, as soon as he sees the Joseph, as soon as he hears what he says, he told him, right away, it doesn't take, he doesn't do any background research, he doesn't do anything else, he just takes him, puts him where? To his right hand. And the Pharaoh says in 41 verse 40, he says, you shall be in charge of my palace, and all my people are to submit to your orders. Only with respect to the throne will I be greater than you. Brings up all the way top. You know, you want to come from 0 to 100, that's the 0 to 100, from prison to the all the way to just below the throne. So except himself, everybody in the Egyptian, can you see the jealousy here? I bet this Pharaoh has so many friends, has so many big guys, it was helpers, and all of them he's saying, right now everything's changed, you guys are below this person. You know, if somebody hires you, a manager to you in the work, and he says right away, until now you were my right hand, but after now, after this moment, this is my right hand, you'll be under him. Boy, it's a tough time. I bet in the Joseph life, during that famine, that he was putting up all this food, and after during that, I mean, before the famine and after famine, there are a lot of people, they tried to find a corruption in him. They were jealous of him. He's the man suddenly get the whole power. And he never misused his authority. I gotta tell you this. During this, the plenty of food, the scripture says, he couldn't even count the food. He stopped counting the food, the amount of the food, because it was countless. Now, can you imagine, we have a treasurer in the United States, and he has, let's say, he has a money that he cannot even count, and nobody knows how much he has. Can you imagine his position, his authority? And you know how easily at the time, the temptations are hard? You have a temptation that, man, you have so much money, nobody knows. If I took half of this, if I put to the Swiss bank or Bank of Rome at the time, if I send this money to the Bank of Rome, nobody will know anything. Or I can send back to the canon, and when I go back, I'll be ready. Maybe this is the Lord promised me that I will get the money from here and I'll use it for the Lord. You know that temptation? And then when the kings are coming to the Joseph and say they need a food, they go to Pharaoh, and the Pharaoh says, go to Joseph. You want food? Brother Joseph. Don't come to me. You know, I love this type of managers. You know, we have a managers that in the work sometimes they say, I'm giving you this authority, and anytime there is a hard case, they jump in into back to the chief mode. They gotta tell you what you have to do. You know, they cannot let you to do what you have to do. They are afraid to give you full authority, or even though they said you have full authority, but they're afraid to do that. And here is the peril. Every time somebody comes, go to Joseph. So here's the Joseph in the position that all these other people or nations are coming with what? With money. They're not coming for nothing. They're coming with the money to exchange with the food. Do you see the temptation? I bet some maybe people said, you know, I know the seed is 100 shekels. I'll give you the 50 shekels. Just put it in your pocket and give me that food. You see the temptation? We were in the position. I bet you understand that temptation. And all this time during the famine, you don't see anything wrong. Here's a man of integrity. He knows who is the boss as a Pharaoh, and he goes with that. And he never misuses his authority. He just does what is right. And that's the Joseph. I really admire him, and I think he's my example as far as the business is concerned, that we gotta have that integrity in our life, that in our business, like him, that we should hold on integrity and not let these temptations, the money and the power will ruin us, will break us, but we will remain one piece. So that was the Joseph. And you know why we need integrity? You know, if you're, at least I know that you are bringing the people to cut your lawn. It's a shame, but that's okay. I'll tell you here. Don't worry. You know, how much integrity you're expecting from your gardener? Okay? He's coming here, he's just cutting the grass and blowing some air, and then that's it. That's the scope of the work, right, gardener? How much integrity you can, your expectation from him? Versus, I brought some painter. I should have painted too, but so I did it too. I brought some painter, and he is doing painting in my house. And sometimes I'm not there. How much integrity I'm waiting from that man? Or versus, you're going to the business and you're expecting some contract, and you're giving some contract, and how much integrity you're waiting from that businessman? Or one more level, you're going to some business partnership. How much integrity you're expecting from your partner in business? Or another level, you're going to get real partnership is a marriage, and how much integrity you're waiting from your husband or from your wife? What I'm trying to say is, integrity, the expectation of integrity changes based on the scope. Or another way, based on how much damage they can cause. You know, if the gardener doesn't have integrity, the worst case, he's not going to do his job and he will just take the money. Or he will ruin your loan. Or the painter, he will steal something inside. Or the business, the worst thing, you will go bankrupt. Or the wife, that's the worst one, or the husband, I should say. Then he can ruin your life. So you see that integrity is changing, but not the God's expectation. Our expectation is changing. As far as the God's expectation is concerned, everybody has to be 100% as long as he is the righteous that walks with him. But we are different. We expect differently. And what I'm trying to say is, we should examine ourselves, not others, before others, I should say. Because the others may have different tolerances. They may not have the high tolerances that the Lord is expecting, because how much integrity you're expecting from me depends on what I'm doing for you. It's in the church, so you can expect this much. But I have to examine myself, because I have to examine with the God standard. You know, everybody likes standard. I love standards, and I love to read the standards. You know, when we, in the work, when you make electrical things, you have to go to electric code, you have to design equipment pressure vessel, you have to go to ASME code, that's the pressure vessel code. Or you build a building, you have to go to building code. You know what all the standards are written for? To improve the quality. Make sure that we will manufacture things that's in the quality. And I love to read the standards. They're so good. So the standards are good. The problem is, our problem is, what standard we're using. And today, we are Christians. Well, accepted or not all of us is using God's standard. We have our own standard. depends on the circumstances. We lower the standard, depends on circumstances, we elevate the standard. As long as the church is happy, I'm not talking about this church, just I'm using example. As long as the church happy, maybe the people of the church, they will be okay with their leaders, even though they may have some wrongs. They are happy because at that time their standards are low. They are not in need higher standard. But as soon as something goes wrong in the church, something wrong with them in between, you see suddenly all these problems are coming to the surface. Because now they increase their standard. Now they are looking with different standard. Do you see the difference? And that happens when the church goes split or when the marriage goes split. You don't hear anything good. You only think hear bad. You know, you just, this is the husband and wife all the time, they are nice and neat. After this divorce, man, nothing good. Everything is bad. Or in the churches, unfortunately. After the split, the people brings up all these things. I think the reason is we're taking different standards based on the circumstances. And it's more important for us, the church, obviously. And I want to go to Titus 1 verse. Titus 2, chapter 2, verse 6. It says, in your teaching, now he's talking about the teachers. In your teaching, show integrity, seriousness, and soundness of speech that cannot be condemned, so that those who oppose you may be ashamed because they have nothing bad to say about us. He started with the singular, he finished with the plural. What I'm trying to say is, he was talking to the Titus, he said, in your teaching, show integrity, so no one cannot be condemned, so your speech cannot be condemned, so the people cannot find nothing bad to say about Titus, no, about us. You see how much affects if the leader of the church or the teacher is not a man of integrity, it affects everybody. It affects the message. He didn't say, Paul, he didn't say, Titus, you have to have integrity, otherwise the people, they find something bad on you and they will condemn you. He said, they condemn us. That's the way it works. And what are we representing here? Pasadena? ABC? What are we representing here? Am I representing myself here? If I'm representing myself here, that's no problem. The worst thing happen is I'm going to be bad guy. And they'll just say you're bad. You don't have integrity. And if I'm representing this church, well, what happened? The extent is we'll go to this church. They'll say this church is corrupt. And that's the right. Because of the leader, the whole church gets that word. But we're not representing here. I'm not representing here myself. We're not representing here the church. We're representing the body of Christ. That's more important. We're representing the body of Christ. You know, can you imagine? By looking to our word, by looking to our integrity, they are starting to know the body of the Christ. Do you understand how seriousness of this integrity, our life? We're representing the body of Christ. We're not representing here ABC. We're not representing here Pasadena. We're not representing Armenians either. If it was, that's no problem. The worst thing is this 100 people will go down to drain. But we're talking about the body of Christ. And how serious is that the Lord is relying on us and He's letting us to represent Him. He's letting that His holy word comes from our mouth, our tongue, and then speak to the people. And how seriously we have to use that word, and how seriously we have to examine ourselves before we say that. How seriously the teachers, the leaders, the pastors, the elders of the church should carefully examine himself, that they have such a high position that may ruin so many lives. And more important, damage the body of the Christ. How serious is this? And at the same time, how high privilege to be the representative of such a high position. That you belong to the mighty one. And he is the one who is letting you to do these things. And he is using in his plan. It goes together. We just how wonderful. At the same time, how serious it is. It goes together. And you know what? We cannot go under the we're living under the grace, and we cannot use the word. You know, I know some people they say we're living under the grace. So whatever we cannot do, that's the time the Lord will close his eyes. That's not true. If you sin, that's sin, right? We cannot say that God is blind to the sin. He never blinds the sin. But he has a mercy. And that's the reason he says, when you sin, you ask forgiveness and the forgiveness will be given to you. That's the rule. That's the practice. You sin, you go ask forgiveness, and that's the under the mercy. The grace comes not after the sin. I think, in my opinion, the grace comes before sin. When you go to temptation, and when you feel that the temptation is coming to you, that the time is for grace. Before you sin, you said, Lord, I need your grace. I feel weak. It seems like I'm not going to make it this. I need your grace. And that's the grace. It gives you the power. And that's the grace. With the power, you can overcome with that sin. That's the grace will hold you back. It will not let you go into the temptation. That's the time, the grace. Let's not use the grace after the fact. Let's use before the fact. The Lord is graceful and he gives his grace and he gives the strength to do what? To overcome this world. We gotta do it before that. We gotta do it. After that, there's only one thing we can ask. His mercy. That's all we deserve. We can ask only mercy. I shouldn't say we deserve, but we can ask. So let's come down to the practical life. That's the hard part. And I don't want to hurt anybody. When I was preparing this in the practical side, I looked to my life, and I'm glad that this topic I went through, because I see so many more things that, and there's things to be done, but I'm going to look like as a list. I'm not looking for a general list. And I have in my life certain things, and I'm going to work on that. That's just a must. There's no excuse on that. And when the Daniel or Joseph, when they stick their integrity, what was the cost? Sometimes almost their life, their freedom. And the same thing for us. In our practical life, you want to maintain the integrity, you have to pay the cost. You bought the cars or you sell the cars recently. What is the typical things happen? When you sell the car, the guy comes and then he says, how much? Okay, 5,000 or 10,000. And then when you go to sell time, they say, would you show $2,000 on the sale? Why? Because they don't want to pay the full tax. Is it happening to you? It happens to me. And they don't want to. And one time, I even offered the guy that I said, okay, no, I want to show the full amount and I'm going to pay your tax too, because I don't want to show less than that. That's happening to temptation to you. And what are we doing in that time? Are we sticking with our integrity, or we're just compromising at that moment and we're saying, that's his fault, that's my fault, he's going to pay the tax, or whatever he does? Or somebody offered you cash, or you offer somebody cash just to avoid the tax. That's happened. It happens to me a lot. It's happening in this Pasadena. Everybody's dealing with the cash. Somebody is coming to your home, two price. One with the paper, one is without the paper. It's happening to you. And what are you doing? Are you taking the cost, or you're just compromising? And more important, how are we dealing with the government? Now, I know the Armenians, especially the immigrants, that we are all immigrants, we didn't born here, or most of us, has the problem with the papers. Is that true? When we come to over the board, we have a paper problem. Some of us, not all of us, but some of us. And then we come here, what we do, and some of us are Christian. I'm not talking about the non-Christians. Non-Christians are living worldly life. But the Christians, they come through the board, sometimes with the tourist visa, sometimes with no visa. I know people, both of them. And they come here, what they do the first thing? They knock the door of the Lord, or no, they knock the door of the lawyers. They go to lawyers. I need a paper. I want a green card. I want to live here. I have the right to live here. So they go to lawyers. What lawyers? Christian lawyers? No, they go to worldly lawyers. They pour money, thousands of dollars, to get what? Papers. Do you see anything wrong with this? I see big wrong. And we see, I know people that they come here for tourist or other purposes, and they work here. Do you have work permit?
No.
Well, I'm not stealing anything. I'm just working and getting money. Well, in this land, working without permit is not allowed. The end of the conversation. And if you work, you have to pay the tax. End of the conversation. But we compromise it. I'm talking about that these are the tough things, and I know it's tough things, and I think they have to talk about these things. We cannot avoid these things. We will never get the man of integrity the Lord wants. We don't address these issues. And that's happening. We have to be careful with the dealing with the government. We cannot say that's a different issue. You don't pay the tax, and then you say you bring the money to the here to the church, and they say, I'm giving to the Lord my money, and that should balance it. You know what the Lord says? You're bringing to me the bad. He doesn't accept your sacrifice. If it's how can you expect that Lord will accept your sacrifice if it's stolen? You steal some animal from somebody and bring to the Lord temple and cut the animal and here's my sacrifice. Can you do that? It doesn't accept. Of course he doesn't accept. And the example of the paying the tax, if you don't pay the tax, that's money is stolen, nothing else. Stolen money. You don't tell me that I worked and I hard and I this is my money, I earned this money. Don't say that, because it's stolen because you didn't pay what you're supposed to pay. And the Bible says you have to pay to those who has the right to get paid. We have to look carefully. If we don't address this issue, if you're not clean in this area, don't expect that you're in with the Lord full-heartedly. You're walking with the Lord. You're walking with the one leg, and the other leg is somewhere else. That's the reality. And it becomes more important for the teachers, because what he says, Paul, you show integrity, otherwise they'll find something bad to say about us. It will affect the body of the Christ. And if you're not there yet, I'll say, stop, look at your life, examine yourself, and fix it, and then get up. Before that, don't get up, please. It's worst thing is, you get up things, and then the people put you down. What did Jesus say when you go to the table? Don't sit on the front, on the good place, because maybe they can replace you later. And it will be worse than before. He said, sit there, let the household will lift you and put it in that place. It's important. Let's not jump ahead. And I know it is hard. And by the way, sometimes the Christian says, and I have a friend, very close friend, that has the same problem with the paper, with immigrants and everything. It seems like sometimes they think that we don't have choice. Who said so? Who said so you don't have choice? You have always choice to do right. If you're here, if you don't have the paper, are you out of the land? No, you came from where? Turkey or Iran or Syria? You can always go back. They're always accepting you. And if they're not accepting you, if you're something wrong with, they are going to kill you, then the government will give you some special things. But if you look to the, let me tell you this, Turkey, Syria, and Iran, this is the main three places, and Egypt, four places. Now I gotta tell you, which one is the tough place to leave? Which one is tough? We have Cyprus too. Cyprus. Which one is the tough place to leave? I think everybody knows the tough place is live in Turkey. That's very clear. You know why clear? I know how the Persians are taking care of the Armenians. I heard that some people are there putting the Armenian last name to get better recognition. Obviously, you guys are not bad there. And when you go to Syria, I mean, I'm looking for the development, the things that they are doing in those countries are great. But when I go to Turkey, the only thing I know is always pushing down. I went to the military, I was down. I went to the college, I was down. You know, but so what? I don't have to be here. I can go always back and I can leave it there. So if somebody has a paper problem and he applied for government and the government doesn't want to give it him, go back. The Lord is not there. There is no work for the Lord. There is no blessing there. What is it? The only United States has the blessing? No, of course not. So we have always choice. Come to the issue of the tax. You say, in my work, I have to do this way. I cannot work with the paper. I have to work with the cash. That's the way it only works. That's nonsense. We know that always we can pay the tax. And you can lose half of your wealth, maybe, your cars and maybe your house, your comfort. That's fine. That doesn't mean that you cannot do it. Well, I don't want to continue the same to repeat myself. And I want to finalize this, that the Lord wants us, even though he says to the leaders, but it really applies to all of us, he says, blameless, above reproach, upright. These are the words. Think about it. I know that one time the one person told me, you cannot be like this. I know one time one elder told me that even though I don't meet this, as long as the church approves me, I am fine. That was the elder. And recently I talked about him. These are the way we use, but it shouldn't be our view. You know what is the above reproach? Means somebody cannot approach you. Somebody cannot finger point you and say, hey, in your life, this is, I know this. If that happens, you're not meeting to that level. You have a problem. You have to fix it. And sometimes it requires restitution. It not only finishes here sometimes. We finish it, we come to the Lord, and then we said, forgive me. And He forgives you. He cleans you from every sin. There's no question about that. But then there is another step that you have to take sometimes. Go back to the people. Go back to the people that you steal. Go back to the people that you lie. Go back to the people that you did something bad to them. And then you do the restitution. Sometimes paying the money back. Sometimes paying the tax. Sometimes going and saying sorry. But restitution, that will show you how genuine your repentance. If everybody that asked forgiveness in these churches that were genuine, we should have a holy nation here. But we know that's not the case. Well, I want to finish my word. My prayer and my wish is that you take whatever is good in my word and take this and something that it will really edify you and it will strengthen you. Please don't take this word as a judgment, but take it as something that it will really help your life. Your life that it will bring to the level that the Lord will say, I know this man, I know this woman, that he has the integrity. I can rely on him. He's trustworthy. How wonderful it would be, each one of us will have that title when the Lord looks at us. Amen. Amen.